I want you to think about a time in your life where you felt most loved, right? Toby and I were talking yesterday about, you know, he's 20 and I'm 40, and how as you get older, your mind doesn't actually get older until you hit a certain age, right? And you can access memories like they were yesterday. And so I want you to, like, literally to just take 30 seconds. You close your eyes if you want and imagine what was one of the most significant moments in my life where I was just saturated in love. And as you think about that, what was it that made you feel that way? Was it a word? Was it physical affection? What was it? What made you experience love in that moment? And as great as that moment was, how long did it last? We can access the memory and know we were loved, but is that carrying you forward? And more than likely, it's probably not. It's probably a great pillar of your experience with love, but it probably doesn't propel you forward every day. And so as we continue in our series, Meant for More, which is about learning to live as God's masterpiece and learning to, you know, we are God's masterpiece. We're identified this way in the scripture, but there's a difference between that being our identity and we living it out on a daily basis. So I've been covering in the series that there's some shifts that we have to make. We have to go from here to here to live as God's masterpiece. So the shift we're talking about today is going from limited love to God's supernatural four-dimensional love. And we'll cover that in the text. But we're going to move from limited love to God's supernatural four-dimensional love, which, of course, is unlimited. So our passage today comes from Ephesians chapter 3, starting with verse 14. And Paul here writes, "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth, and from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." As we look at the text, it's pretty straightforward. And you saw the how long, how high, how wide, and how deep God's love is. And so here's my theory. That we're not always accessing the four dimensions of God's love. We're not always experiencing the four dimensions of God's love, not because of shortcoming on God's end, but on our end. And really what it gets down to is a lot has to do with how we've experienced love in our human relationships. And so we're going to explore how do you go from limited human love to really God's limitless, supernatural, four-dimensional love. So principle one today says this: every human being has a God-sized hole in their inner being that only God's supernatural four-dimensional love can fill. Every human being. How are we getting this from the text? As it opens up in verse 14, it says, "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father." Paul could have easily said to God. It's the same. But he's emphasizing the fatherhood of God because as we go to 15, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. Everything includes everyone. and from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Even people that don't believe in God, people that have fallen away, whatever the case may be, clearly for believers, God created us all. He's the Father of all. And so in his perfect creation, before the fallenness of our fallenness, we were designed and we were created to be related to God and to one another. And so God, as he creates us with this need to be in fellowship with him, to be in fellowship with God, because he has a love that no human being on this planet can give you. No matter how great your mother or your father or your spouse or your brother or your sister or your children may be, none of them can come close to loving you the way that only God can. And so I want us to understand this for several reasons. I don't know if you've ever heard the saying that he's looking for love in all the wrong places, or she's looking for love in all the wrong places. And usually we associate that with someone dating, right? They're dating the wrong people all the time. So they're looking for love in the wrong places. But it's not just them that are looking for love in the wrong places. We too look for love in the wrong places when we look to a human being to satisfy that innate need that God created that nobody can do. And this builds a dissatisfaction in our lives. It builds a dissatisfaction in our marriages, in our parental relationships, in our sibling relationships, a dissatisfaction when we work, because nothing can fill that void that only God can fill. So we need to acknowledge that we're created that way. We're built that way. And this will help us take our eyes off of human beings. It'll help us take our eyes off our situations and our circumstances and turn them back to where it belongs, to the Father, to the creator of heavens and the earth, and from whom every family on earth derives its name. Am I making sense to you? Principle number two. Because we have this God-sized hole, and we generally don't look to God to fill it, principle two steps in, most human beings have learned to live on limited love, incomplete love, or distorted love. All right, this is where we dig out the pain here. So we looked at, and we're looking in the next principle, the width, the height, the length, and the depth of God's love, right? And as we look at that, I just equated it however I wanted to. You can make sea long and feel deep, whatever. But I'm looking at width as seeing God's love, length as hearing it, height as feeling it, and depth as being transformed by it. Okay? This is the kind of love God has for you and that he wants you to experience on a regular basis. So here's the issue. Culturally, and according to the way we were raised, you know, nature versus nurture, we tend to get more heavy doses of a particular type of love and less of others or none of others. So there's families that are very good at telling you the words, I love you, I love you, I love you. But then we receive actions from those same family members that contradict that they love us. And that's how we start to understand love. Love is a verbal expression I make, but I'm still going to get hurt. It's still going to cause me pain. There's others who have never really heard the words, I love you. But, you know, they're provided for. So some cultures, you know, parents, the way they see love and the way they give love is, hey, I put a roof over your head. I put food on the table. I got all your needs taken care of. Therefore, I love you. But I'm never going to say the words because I didn't grow up that way either. Once again, limited love. You have others where, you know, they provide everything. They say the words, but there's no physical affection to go along with it. And so what's happening is we're dealing with limited love. And then if you've ever been in a place where those that were supposed to love you the most violated you the most, it's a distorted, tainted, it's not even love, but it's our perception of love. And so what happens is we learn to live on it, on so little. It's kind of like, you know, in developing countries when people are starving and don't have food, They learn to live on the bare minimum. And even as Christians, we sometimes learn to live on the bare minimum of love. And we start to normalize it. Oh, you know, me and my loved one, we're always fighting. We're always in disagreement. We're always saying bad things to each other. That's just love. Oh, you know what I'm saying? We start to make excuses and develop rationale for this limited love. And that's not God's way. Okay? That's not God's way. So, we need to understand, just because we may have been raised that way, just because this has been our conviction so far, it doesn't mean that it's appropriate. It does not mean it's appropriate. And that's, you know, where confession has to come in and repentance can set in once you understand the way God loves. And I'll show you how this works. I know that the majority of us and the world does not regularly experience God's four-dimensional love, because when we're feeling the love from God, we're riding high. And we can't help but praise. But when we're in that valley and everything's hitting the fan and we're in a hard place and we're in pain and we're suffering, why are we tempted to believe that God doesn't care? Why are we tempted to believe that God is punishing us? Why are we tempted to believe we're all alone? You see what I'm saying? Love being experienced four-dimensionally doesn't leave you in that place. And it happens in human relationships, right? I grew up with a dad, very tough, but he loved us. But his love, and here's the thing that we need to understand about why our family members love us in limited ways or incomplete ways. We never think about how they were loved or not loved. So while, you know, I could stand here and say, hey, you know, my dad was great at providing. He was great at encouraging. He was great at pushing me. But we didn't really say I love you. And there was really not a lot of affection. I could blame him and say, it's your fault, Dad. But if I know his story, and I know how he grew up and how he received a love from a mother that was worse than the hate of an enemy, I can appreciate how far God's brought him and how far he's brought us. And we as disciples continue to multiply the fruits of what God has given us. So even as we look at those who love us with limited love or incomplete love or distorted love, we're not going back so we can blame them. We're not going back so we can point the finger at them. We're looking back at, okay, this has been my experience and that's okay. But now what does the Bible say about this? What does Jesus say about the way we're supposed to love? And what's normative in the kingdom of God for people that love God? And that takes us to principle number three. God's unlimited supernatural love exists in four dimensions. Right? And of course we have that passage in verse 18. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Paul opens up this letter to the Ephesians talking to all the believers in Ephesus. So if he's telling you, and may you have the power, he's talking to us. He's talking to fellow believers and followers of Jesus Christ saying, hey, you know what's not natural? It's not natural for you to understand the four dimensions of God's love. So I need to tell you about it. I need to teach you on it. And we need to live this way. And so as we look at seeing love, hearing love, feeling love, being transformed by love, this is what God's love does. I'm only going to give you limited examples, but we see God's love in Jesus' work on the cross, right? We see God's love in, you know, through the prophet Hosea, when God tells him, you know, you're going to marry a promiscuous woman, you're going to have children with her, she's going to commit adultery, she's going to cheat on you, she'll never be faithful to you, but I'm going to call you to love her anyways, because this is how I love my people. We see the love. We hear the love when we read the scriptures. I know you would think, no, that's seeing it. No, I hear it, you know, and for those of you that have Bibles with red letters in it, I hear God's love when I hear what he says directly to us, to you. Right? When God calls us his special treasure, when he calls us his masterpiece, when he says we're his beloved son or his beloved daughter, all these things, we're hearing it. So how do we feel loved? And this is one of the major disconnects. You cannot, I'm not going to say you cannot, you probably will not feel God's love experientially without a spiritual community that you're a part of. Why? Because, you know, your family, my family, their family, we all love the same way because we're all from the same place. You won't experience the other facets of love until you surround yourself with different people who are living that love in different ways. And that's the beauty. This is ironing, sharpening iron. I see you guys are really great at verbal love. I see you guys are really great at physical love. I see you're really great at, you know what I'm saying? By seeing it all, God amplifies our picture of the kingdom so we can understand where we have shortcomings and where we can receive more of his love for us in this life. And most importantly, the depth of his love. The depth of God's love changes you. As I was asking you to access that memory about the one of the most loved moments in your life, did it change you? More than likely, human love doesn't change us. It can, but not the way God's love changes us. God's love changes us where when we understand our position before God, undeserving of his grace, undeserving of his mercy, undeserving of his forgiveness, and yet he chooses us anyway. He lavishes us with his love anyways. He's so patient with us as we make the same mistakes, the same sins, have the same failures. When you really receive that love, you will be changed by that love. And what will happen is you will start to show the same kind of grace, the same kind of kindness, the same kind of forgiveness to others. What's the problem? Many Christians aren't living transformed by God's love. We're saying, yeah, I'm saved. I'm redeemed. God has changed me. All true. But we're not seeing that lived out in the daily relationships with people. Because the transformation, the depth of God's love is not being received regularly. And what I'm saying is, it's not a criticism of you, of anybody. But I'm saying is, you're meant for more. You're meant to not just hear God's love. You're meant not just to see God's love. You're meant not just to feel God's love, but to be changed by his love forever. Forever. Not, I had a good week with God's love. I am transformed. I am changed by the power of the Holy Spirit forever. And as I was talking about, you know, my dad and our family, you know, as we've gotten closer and closer to Christ, the dynamics have changed. As we learn together, now we are the family that says, I love you. Now we are the family that embraces each other. Awkwardly? Yeah, sometimes. Right? That side hug? Right? Like, yeah, it's still awkward, but we're growing. Right? And that's the point. Meant for more. We're not meant for spiritual complacency. We're meant for more transformation, like we talked about last week. So, here's the issue. We're not going to see, we're not going to hear, and we're not going to feel if we're not in the Bible, if we're not with our spiritual community, right? If our focus is on something else. So what's happening is we're running on the lowest amount of God's love, not because God made it that way, but because we're accustomed to that. That's already how we've been surviving our human relationships. So even though God offers us infinitely more, we access this much. And then we wonder why we find ourselves on this roller coaster of life. So many highs and so many lows. Why do I feel so empty? Why do I feel so alone? And the reality is because we've learned to settle for less. And that's why I'm telling you, you're meant for more. God created you for more. He saved you for more. So remember, principle number three, God's unlimited supernatural love exists in four dimensions. Principle number four, God's unlimited supernatural four-dimensional love can only empower those who receive his spirit and allow Christ to make his home in their hearts. We see with verse 16, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, there's that love, He will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Reception of the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. There's a lot of people that have cognitive understanding, intellectual understanding. Christ died for me. He loves me. And that's good. That's a good start. But you can't live the Christian life off cognitive understanding of Christ's sacrifice. You have to see it. You have to hear it. You have to feel it. And you must be changed by it. If you want to live in the fullness of God's love, as verse 19 will say, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. I don't know about you, but I want to be complete. I want the fullness of the life that God has for me. I want the fullness of what God has for life for you. And that's power. That's Holy Spirit power to be able to love the unlovable. Holy Spirit power to love and to stay fixated on love no matter what comes your way. It's a supernatural thing. And we cannot do it in our own power. So Christ must take root in our heart. That's the whole thing. Can't just know about him. Can't be a friend of a friend. He's got to be your master. And you got to commune with him. You got to spend the time with him. You got to see how much he loves you. Hear how much he loves you. Feel it through spiritual community so that you can be transformed by that love. Principle number 5. God's supernatural four-dimensional love is meant to be experienced constantly, consistently, and cyclically. This is where we don't do too well. Right? Don't take this like a New Year's resolution. Right? We make our New Year's resolution, man, we're pretty good for a couple weeks. Maybe even a month. 3 months? That's pretty good. No. God's love is meant to be experienced constantly, consistently, and cyclically. It's supposed to be turning over and over and over again, being refreshed. The problem is, and I'm pretty sure you'll identify with this. I know I do. When you first got saved, I know there was a passion in your life, a thankfulness, a gratitude, a devotion to God, like probably you've never experienced again. That passion, that hunger, that thirst, that devotion was never meant to fade. It was never meant to fade away. It was meant to be experienced constantly, consistently, and cyclically. But like all relationships, you have to intentionally invest in it. It's like a marriage relationship, right? We hear about how so many marriages started off so great, so loving, and they drift apart, they grow apart. Well, that's natural if you're not investing in it. If you're not investing in that relationship, if you're not investing in love, of course it's going to grow separately. And that's what we need to understand. God met us where we were. He accepted us the way we were, but he loves us too much to leave us the way we are. Right? When we get married, we marry the person of our, hopefully we're marrying the person of our dreams, but you already got to understand, that person's not going to stay the same, just like you're not going to stay the same. The key is to grow together, to invest together. Right? Parents, as your children grow up, you know, it's what a sweet, wonderful thing when they're, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, and man, you're their hero. Everything you tell them is so wonderful. You remember when they used to love to clean? You remember that? Like, I'll help you. Ask me if a 15, 16, 17 year old is going to tell you the same thing. No. But the problem is, we can't treat teenagers the way we treat little children either. We have to invest in those relationships. We have to invest in intimacy, understanding, right? Nobody, if you don't stay the same, how can you expect anyone else to stay the same? If you're not feeling loved, how do you expect them to feel loved? It's not going to happen, right? If you're living on limited love, then you're subjecting everybody else to the same limited love. Principle number 6. God wants you to be transformed by the power of His unlimited, supernatural, four-dimensional love. And in verse 19 says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Transformation into Christ-likeness. I want you to think about how can Christ come to save the same people that are denying Him, rejecting Him, looking to kill Him, insulting Him, slapping Him, spitting on Him. How does He do it? Because He receives the full love from the Father and the Holy Spirit. He's living four-dimensional love in the Godhead. See, one of the things that many people don't understand, I didn't understand this for a long time, is that God didn't save us because He needs us. He doesn't need to be loved by us. That's like saying, hey, do you need to be loved by an ant? Not your aunt, but an ant, right? A little tiny ant. No. God is so fully filled up in the God, in the love that exists in the Godhead, that creation itself is merely an overflow of that unlimited four-dimensional love. Don't you want to love like that? See, the thing is, we see in the Bible how we're supposed to love one another. Our brothers and sisters, our mothers and fathers, our neighbors, and even our enemies. And like all good Christians, I'm sure that you are. I know you try. But the problem is you're trying with your power. You're going from that little bit of love that you're living on, and you're trying to douse it on a fire of people that are against you, and then you're like beating your head against the wall. Why isn't this working? Because your cup is not overflowing with the love of God. You can't give away what you don't have. When God overflows your cup, then, man, you're looking for all the different places to get rid of it, right? Because you don't want to waste that resource, right? You ever had a pipe burst at your house? I have. What do you do, man? You're getting buckets and stuff of water. You're trying not to waste that water. Because you're going to get billed for it, right? So the thing is, if you allow God to overflow your cup of love, then it can't help but extend out into every relationship you have. But when you're living on limited love, then what you're trying to do is protect a very limited resource. And there's no such thing as being generous with a limited resource. Right? God wants you to be transformed by the power of His unlimited, supernatural, four-dimensional love. Last principle for you today. When we decide to love others with God's unlimited, supernatural, four-dimensional love, the impossible becomes possible. When you decide, when I say when you decide, that means when you give yourself to the four dimensions of God's love, constantly, consistently, and cyclically, the impossible becomes possible. Verse 20 says, now all glory to God who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. His power through us accomplishing infinitely more than what we might ask or think. Why are we not thinking it and why are we not asking it? Because it's impossible. There's no way that's going to happen. Yeah, the way things are, it's not going to happen. But if you give yourself to God and you operate out of the overflow of His love, His unlimited, precious, powerful resource, the impossible becomes possible. I don't know what that means for you. I'm not even going to try to apply it. But you know those relationship, that relationship you have, that you, man, there was so much love at one point and now there's just so much hate, so much dysfunction, and you just about gave up or you already gave up. The impossible becomes possible when you allow God to overflow your cup. That coworker that you can't stand, that you just, man, you hate work every day. Maybe it's your boss. Maybe you're the boss that everybody hates. The impossible becomes possible when you allow God to overflow your cup. Your family and its brokenness and the way everybody's just living their own separate lives, doing their own thing, trying to make the best, but we know it's not good. And you wonder, God, can this ever be restored? Can this marriage ever be really reconciled? The impossible becomes possible when you allow God to overflow that cup. I've shared here many times, to this day, I am not humanly able to understand how my parents could have faith that I would come back to the faith after everything that I did. But it was being filled up by God's love that made the impossible possible. But it's only through the power of God and not ours. You know, we can do all the scolding, we can do all the arguing, all the debating, we can give all the gifts, we can give all the time. Out. Sorry about that, folks. Our Zoom went out here for a second. I think I'm good. This here is showing unmuted. I'm showing unmuted here that they have sound. But you're not getting sound? Okay. Thank you. Sorry about that, folks. Thank you, Stefan. Appreciate you. If you're trying to do it in your own power, you're going to continue to fail. And I say continue to fail, like I said, because I know you're good Christians. I know you see the word. I know you're trying to obey. I know it. But you're getting discouraged because the more you try to obey, the more things seem to go wrong. But again, it's because you're doing it with your limited human power. You're doing it with your incomplete love. And you're not doing it with the fullness of God's unlimited, supernatural, four-dimensional love. So, I'm supposed to do this after the sermon, but I'm going to remember this time. If you want to have prayer over this, if there's something that God's putting on your mind, and you know, man, this message is for you. You know that it's God's time for you to just get to break free from what you've been living. Then I'm going to invite you, while the worship team's singing, you can join soon to be Pastor Stefan over here. I'm sure we'll have somebody on this side. But I just want to encourage you. Don't run from these moments when God presents them to you. Okay? When God is so good that He reveals constantly the very things we need, and we have to live unashamed. Unashamed, without pride, and say, God, I know you're talking to me, and man, I'll do whatever it takes. And the funny thing is about this, it's like, there's really nothing you have to do. You have to sit down and receive from God. You understand that? Receiving love, you just have to sit down, be still, and receive it. Get in His Word. Get connected with the community. Be changed by His love. So it's not another to-do list and not more multitasking. Can you sit and soak in the love of God the way He wants you to? All right? So prayer there in a few minutes. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank You. We love You, Lord. Because not only did You first love us, You love us in the perfect, complete, holy, profound, life-changing way that only You can. Lord, if I confess on behalf of our people, if we have unintentionally look to human beings to fill this God-sized hole in our heart, we confess, Lord, we've done wrong. We've put too much pressure on our spouse or on our children or on our parents or on our siblings to make us happy when it's just not in their power to do so. We look for love in all the wrong places as we look at our financial security and our status and our title. Lord, help us to wipe those things clean, to appreciate that they're gifts from you, but to understand that the source of love is you and you alone. And that we don't need to do more. We don't need to try to earn more. We need to be still and to receive your love. We need to get back to the foundation of making you our first love, as you say to the church in Ephesus in the book of Revelation. Father, I pray for all those who receive nothing but tainted, distorted, and perverse versions of love in their life. Those that were supposed to love them the most, hurt them the most, violated them the most. Lord, I pray that you bring healing to those hearts, to those minds, to those souls, and that they know that no matter how horrific everything was, no matter how much they suffer still, that you have a plan to redeem because you are good. You can take the most horrible moments from some of the most horrible families, and you can create new, good, God-honoring, God-loving families filled up by the power of your love. Lord, there's so much of our being that is created to be related to you. And I pray that each of us and the families represented here, the workplaces represented here, the neighborhoods represented here, and even our enemies, Lord, would be recipients of being in good relationship with you so that they can receive the overflow of your four-dimensional love. Lord, as we kneel before you and seek to receive, we understand that there may be some things in our life that are blocking out the outpouring of your love. So, Lord, we ask in faith that you would pluck out those things, Lord, that are taking up room in our heart, that are preventing the free flowing of the Holy Spirit. We know it'll hurt. We know we'll be angry. We know we'll be sad. We know we'll be disillusioned. But we give you permission to pluck it out if it's not of you. Because we want you the most. And we want all the love that you have, not just for ourselves, but for every relationship we're involved in and for every impossible situation that we've given up on. Lord, help us not to have belief that it can change by our power, but to know that through you, even the impossible is possible. We love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.